And when you come to that conviction that if you live for self and sin in this world, that you are doomed, that you are in danger, then you will run for mercy. And that's what we see here in Rahab's life. And I call you today to seek God's mercy. I call you today to get saved. Give your life to the Lord Jesus, who is your Savior and only Savior. And if you're saying, no, I don't want to live for Jesus. I don't want to live the Christian life. I want to join the world.
I want to give you a sincere welcome to Let the Bible Speak as we bring the Lord's Word here today in the book of Joshua. There is no more exciting, thrilling account of God's grace and God's power than how he dealt with Joshua. Joshua, the servant of Moses, the disciple of Moses, now steps into very big shoes as he leads the children of Israel to take them across the Jordan River. Many enemies, their eyeballs staring down the Israelites across that river Jordan, which was not very big. It's just a little ditch, really. Nothing like the great rivers of the world. But on that day when they stood on the other side, God was leading them across and giving them the victory. And of course, he stopped the water, led them over, and gave them victory after victory after victory. Now, this is really a parable. It is a picture of the Christian life, that God leads us across our Jordans, and he leads us on to victory. And for the child of God, there is victory. There is blessing. And you are invited today to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, that you might know his power and his victory in your life. Whatever the battle is, drugs, alcohol, worldliness, sin of any kind, Christ can break the power of sin and lead you to victory through the blood of his cross. Stay tuned now as we come to this item in song, Stay Just As I Am. Program here today as we let the Bible speak and as we bring you this message from the book of Joshua. If you are not driving and if you have a Bible, please pick it up and discover the power of God at work in the lives of his people. Joshua was seeming inexperienced, he was incapable, but he depended on the Lord his God. And the Lord told him to be very courageous, and God gave him the victory. And I trust that today that you will learn the way of power with God through Christ, his own Son, and that with Christ we can do all things. And so stay tuned as we bring the message from the pulpit of our church.
But now their stench was come to heaven, and the Israelites were coming as God's instrument of judgment upon a wicked people. And that knowledge, that perspective, was given to Rahab as a gift. And every Christian has that perspective, that we're living in a world that is under God's judgment. A world that does not deserve to be treated righteously because of the sin and the corruption and the defiance of God, and that this world will one day burn up under God's wrath. And every preacher of the Bible had that perspective. Noah, I say no more, he stands out as a living example of one who understood that wrath was coming. Think of Abraham. He was told to get out of Ur of the Chaldees, not to try and convert the culture, but to get out and to become the head of a new people. Jeremiah, he probably had the toughest mission of all because he was a prophet to warn the people of Jerusalem, yes, the holy city, the city that had been given to them by God as a gift. And his ministry was, this city is going to fall. The Babylonians are coming, and 70 years of captivity is upon this people. They will be defeated and led astray. That was Jeremiah's ministry. Think of the Lord Jesus. His ministry was really a ministry to warn people that this world is going to be destroyed and that wrath is coming upon this world. He preached against men living for riches. Remember the rich fool, the farmer who wanted to pull down his barns and build greater. And the Lord called him a fool, because this night his soul was required. And the Lord went on to say how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, because those that love this world and love its riches, they don't grasp that this world is under God's wrath. I can remember very vividly the day in my experience before I was converted, when this, I call it a revelation, I call it insight, got a hold on me, and I began to realize everybody I know, my family, my friends, this country is headed for judgment if they're not converted to Christ. And I was the only one, well, I have to be careful, my mother made a profession of faith 6 months before me. I was the only one in my wider family circle that became a Christian. And as I thought of those souls, the light of the gospel was dawning on me and making an impact on me and making to realize that not only do I need to be saved, but all of those people I know and love, they need to be saved. And that is what faith reveals. That's what happened to Rahab. She recognized that her city, her people, was under judgment. And that's something that only faith can work in your heart. It is a conclusion, a conviction, that every born-again Christian will have. I dare not live for this world. Only what's done for Jesus will last. It is foolish to live for materialism and the pomp of this world. I need to be a Christian and to give my life lock, stock, and barrel to the Lord. That's what Rahab did. And she recognized the doom and judgment. The Lord is going to take this city. It's going to be an awful judgment. And then in verse 12, you will see that she began to plead for mercy. She began to ask. She said, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." Now, here was Rahab right at the crossroads of life. She had shown kindness to these two spies that came into her house. She hid them in the roof. She covered them in the flax. She had already delivered them from danger. And now she was leveraging that kindness, pleading for kindness to her and her household, that when the judgment comes upon the city, that they might somehow be spared. And this is another gift of faith. Faith makes us to plead for mercy. And we learn that the God of heaven is a God of mercy, a God of grace. And when we repent and recognize our sin and flee from it, that we will be well treated. Now, the reason why men are not seeking after God in this nation of Canada today, the reason why people do not turn to the Lord or want to trust in Him, is firstly, they don't feel their danger. They don't see that God's wrath is upon this nation. They don't see that the liberal, modern, anti-biblical trends of this nation are an offense to God. We have more and more people who say that they don't need religion, they don't need God, they don't need mercy. But here the gift of faith is wrought in the heart. And when the Holy Spirit works conviction of sin in the soul, it leads to a plea for mercy. But when you're proud, seeking popularity and the fortune and the fame of this world, bragging about your own modern-mindedness and your own desire to prosper among ungodly men, then you're not interested in repenting and turning and seeking refuge from wrath. But if you're convicted that judgment is imminent and that your soul is in danger, and for Rahab, the enemy was at the gate. They were already out there assembling their armies, and in a short time they were going to take this city. She had no idea how it was going to happen. She had no knowledge of why they would march around the city all those times. But she knew that they hadn't a hope. And when you come to that conviction that if you live for self and sin in this world, that you are doomed, that you are in danger, then you will run for mercy. And that's what we see here in Rahab's life. And I call you today to seek God's mercy. I call you today to get saved. Give your life to the Lord Jesus, who is your Savior and only Savior. And if you're saying, "No, I don't want to live for Jesus. I don't want to live the Christian life. I want to join the world." Well, the Bible warns you over and over, you are playing the fool. Because some hour, your soul will be required. and judgment will come. Are you ready? You need to be saved. Now we also see that through faith, Rahab made use of the red rope. And that's the beauty of this wonderful story. The very rope that those spies used to climb out through her window, the window was on the wall and the wall was on the outside of the city, and they would scale down the walls using the red rope. And the men said to Rahab, tie this rope to your window, and when we return conquering the city, when we see the red cord or thread, it's called it. It was more than a thread, because these strong men rappel down using this rope. And they said, you keep that rope on the window, and when we return, this will be our agreement, life for life. You saved our lives. We give you our promise that we will save your life. And what do we find? If you look in this chapter, that verse 21, and she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, sentence is not over, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. She did it immediately. She didn't risk a day, a night, an hour. She tied that red rope in her window immediately so that it would be a sign to the invading Israel, this is where I live, this is where my family is, and remember the promise, remember the guarantee, and she pleaded that. The parallel of the red rope has to be the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus. On Calvary's cross, our Lord Jesus paid with his own blood for our salvation, our redemption. And it is through the payment of the blood that Christ made atonement that you will be safe. No judgment falls upon the sinner who is finding refuge in the Lord Jesus. There is no wrath for you. You are guaranteed escape when this world is burned up, when it's all over. Your soul will be under the blood, saved by the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus. What is faith in the blood of Jesus? Is it simply saying in your seat today, yes, I like that? No, it's tying the rope to your window. It wasn't enough for Rahab to say, I like the plan. She actually did use the rope and kept it there, fastened it to her window, and made it fully visible. You who have heard this good news of salvation by the blood of Jesus, it's not enough to say, yes, I like that. That sounds such good news to me. You must come under the blood of Jesus. You must make use of that redemption and make it the token, the mark of your salvation, the thing that you're trusting in. Is that true? Are you pleading the blood of Jesus? When did you do it? When did you plead the blood of Jesus? Have you ever said, Lord, let that blood be a covenant to me, and let it be my safe security from the wrath of God and sin? To be saved, you plead the cleansing, saving power of the blood of Jesus. Now, end of story. And as you read on, you will find that when the walls fell, and they fell flat, they just went out of sight. And Israel went right in to conquer the city. And the armies were warned and instructed, watch for the red rope. And isn't it good the rope was red? It must have been highly visible, easy to see. There it is. That's the room. That's the house. And everyone in Rahab's house speaks of her father, mother, brothers, sisters were saved. And the army led them out to safety. And the other good news is that Rahab, it wasn't a passing wonder. It wasn't a prisoner's faith or a someone on death row's faith. It was a genuine enduring faith because Rahab was joined to Israel. She took a husband called Salmon, and she became the great-grandmother of King David. Now, you look up Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, and you'll get the pedigree. David's father was Jesse. Jesse's father was Obed. And Obed was the child of Boaz. And Boaz was the son of Salmon and Rahab. She was the matriarch in the line of David. She herself was delivered from the curse and made a blessing. And that's what the gospel does. Because on the cross, the Lord Jesus became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And by his life, you live. By his death, you have peace with God, and you are saved. What a great story of Rahab. She was a Gentile out of the heathen of Canaan, a deep scarlet sinner, a harlot. And by the way, the name never left her. She left her sins, she left the practice, but the name stuck because it became a name that gives honor to God. And you read Hebrews 11, James chapter 2, Rahab is mentioned as the harlot, but she was converted and saved. Praise God for the power of the gospel. And the Lord really, truly saves his people and makes them trophies of grace. Will you be saved today? Young man, young woman, will you please run to the Lord Jesus and ask him to save you, make you a Christian? Is it too much to ask you to leave the world that's perishing? Is it too much to ask you to leave the sins that are making you a curse in God's sight and to be washed in the blood that you might be blessed of God for all eternity? Only a fool would turn down the invitation. Don't be a fool today, but believe and be saved. And I want you to come today and put your personal trust in the Lord Jesus. This is your day of grace. 1 hour, one day, your soul will be required, and you need to be saved. Will you come?
Thank you for listening to Let the Bible Speak, for joining with us as we bring the message of God's Word. And I know these things are solemn, and I know these things are close to the heart, and no one can listen to these things and not be willing to sit up and realize that in this world we're headed for judgment, and that we need a Savior. We need the grace and the very power of God. And I pray that the Lord will come and minister to you and give you the Holy Spirit's power to repent and believe in the wondrous message of the gospel. It is said that when the Moravians began their mission in Greenland, they found the natives so ignorant that they decided to begin by educating them. The results were so utterly disappointing that they decided to leave. While waiting for a vessel, one of the missionaries began translating a portion of the Gospels and thought he would test his translation by reading it. After he had read of the sufferings and death of Jesus, there was a period of silence. Then the chief rose and asked the missionary to read it again. When he had finished, the chief said, "What you read, is it true? You say it is true? Then why did you not tell us that at first? You must not leave us now. We will listen to your words of the man who suffered for us." So the cross conquered where education failed. The missionaries remained to see much fruit from their labors. And so we must learn that the way to convince men of their need is not the way of education, but the way of the cross, the way of salvation by the blood of a substitute dying on that cruel Roman gibbet, the tree of Calvary, to be made a curse for us. The one who knew no curse became a curse to take away our sins and the curse of our sins. This is the very wondrous message of the gospel, and it is my great joy each day to bring this message to you wherever you may be. I want to send you a little booklet called A New Beginning. It's a 32-page colored booklet that lays out in simplicity the plan of salvation, why we need to be saved, why the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and how you can know with assurance that you have called on Him and that He has saved your soul. And then there are some guidelines on how to live the Christian life, how to find food for your soul. So be sure to send for the booklet called A New Beginning. And you can call me, write, email, or whatever you need to do that you might send for this booklet. And I will be glad to send you a copy. Or give me a phone call if you are burdened about your need of a Savior. May the Lord deal graciously. Thank you for listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.